Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we have an hour to go, and we appreciate you being here. It's been quite a week, one we have not experienced any time in ever memory. Forget recent. Let's get back to the calls. At 855-242-7285, and Courtney is up next. Hey, Courtney, good afternoon.
Courtney. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm not here. Okay, so I just have a question. I'm really not, like, familiar with the NIL. My pappy listens to you every single day, and I walk by, and he talks about it. He was talking about what has been going on with it, and I was just wondering, like, with the NIL, just Alabama, you got 19 years old to be able to sign a contract, Mississippi 21 when it comes to being an adult. Does that have anything to do with, like, what's going on between...
Well, yeah, you make an interesting point. Every state's law is technically different than the other. And what people don't realize is that NIL is very specific, individually based. You cannot just lure a player directly with an NIL deal. It has to be done in a nuanced third party way, but. When you get right down to it, the bigger issues are more in the transfer portal, Courtney. When you got a player like Jordan Addison, there's no question he was going to a very high bid. The story will eventually come out what he ended up with, but you just don't say, "Hey, Jordan, we really want you to be on our campus. We think you and." Bryce Young will make a great pitcher and catcher. It's about money at that point. You don't leave a school that you're a star unless you're looking for a better deal. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Let's check in with Mike, who is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Mike, we're doing great. Appreciate the call.
Hey, as someone who was used to asking tough questions when you were a journalist, didn't you find it really disappointing that the Texas A&M media during Jimbo's news conference yesterday, when he was inferring about Nick Saban's rather shady dealings with recruiting, that nobody challenged him? When Jimbo Fisher said, talk to people who've coached with him. They know where the bodies are buried. Why didn't somebody say, hey, Jimbo, you coached with him. Why don't you tell us where the bodies are buried?
Yeah, you know something about that, Mike? I have become so desensitized to shoddy journalism that I'm not sure it even fazed me because I would not have expected it. We live in and I get accused of it all the time, so people, I'm sure, are laughing right now when I'm about to say, which is fine. It doesn't matter. But the lack of intensity, the lack of journalistic integrity is another lost art. Most media are just part of the program now, and that's the way the programs want it. And very few will dare to be different. And I mean, I'm quite transparent about some of the limitations that we even have here. But I feel like we get a little farther down the road than most.
Well, it just seemed to me that they were so aroused by the quotes that Jimbo was giving them and just so enamored with the possibility of writing this great story where their hero coach stood up to the greatest of all time and didn't
yeah,
just
Yeah, Mike,
stand
I mean, journalism
him,
101, and I've been in some classrooms teaching. Pretty obvious what the question is. Hey, Jimbo, can you give us a specific of Nick Saban
exactly.
that would make him the antithesis of Bobby Bowden?
It reminds me of 20-plus years ago when Dennis Franchione faced the Texas A&M media when he was being introduced, and nobody asked him any tough questions.
No, well,
it was incredible.
There are, and Mike, there are certain situations when you're in a precarious environment, and I've been there where. Sometimes you just try to respect the person, but that's in a friendly setting. That's at a golf tournament. That's somewhere other than a press conference that's called to defend your honor and integrity, where you attack the person who did it.
Exactly, and you can even go so far as to say, you know, pregame news conferences a week of. Or post-game news conferences,
no.
That's really not the time to really maybe dig in. But
no,
when
no,
somebody made the accusations that he made yesterday, well, let me use Jimbo Fisher's word, it was despicable that the media didn't
yeah.
answer back and question him and
but,
say, hey, give us a specific.
You know something, Mike, though? The public doesn't demand it. The public really doesn't want it. The public embraces Homer journalism. Forget. Let me take journalism out
yeah.
of it. Homer.
The public
Homer,
are sheep.
Homer coverage.
Yeah, the public are sheep. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Hey,
well,
good talking with you.
Why do people watch a news channel? Because it represents their personal thoughts. Because that's how we are. We want to hear.
I think.
Our own views.
I think people watch for three reasons. I think one of the reasons they want to watch is maybe to get some information. Maybe another reason they want to watch is because people are good looking, and we obviously know that's not why they watch you.
No.
And number three is they like controversy. That's the third person they want to, third reason they want to watch, and you deliver on two out of three of those.
Thank you very much. Did that guy just insult my looks? I think he did. Let's. I should be hurt. I should cry. How about Jay in Nashville? Hey, Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, first-time caller here. I'm on 65 heading back to Nashville. I couldn't resist. I had to call in to give my 2 cents.
Wonderful.
So you'd have
Thank
a full
you.
Dollar. You know, I'm going to say a couple of things, and then I'll let you comment on it. Imagine what the NFL would look like if it had the NIL rules with it. Each state has its own regulations, and each state has this and that determines NILs in each state. Imagine the NFL working under that situation. So I'm going to tell you, I lay all this at the feet of those in Indianapolis who knew years ago that this was coming about and really set up no guidelines that kind of put a form around it. So now you got all these coaches in one room fighting for the same pork chop, not to call kids pork chops, but what I meant by it is like two wolves fighting over the same piece of meat. They're all grabbing for it, hoping to get it. But you've got no rules and regulations. You've got no contracts. It is free agency, essentially. And the portal even makes it even weirder when you see that a kid could get $1 million to sign, then he doesn't like where he's at, leaves, takes the money and runs. I mean, there's just no basis. So if you go back and read USA Today 2013 did an expose on the leadership in Indianapolis. And that kind of tells me where we laid this egg.
Yeah, you mentioned him, and I agree with you. Mark Emmert is the president. He is ultimately responsible. But there are a lot of other people that sit at that table, from commissioners to college presidents, who just let this go.
A lot of people sit at that table, but they had to form that kind of.
Oh, sure.
There's no form. There's no form there. It's just state to state difference, and who can regulate that?
Well said. Totally agree. Well, appreciate that. Let's continue. How about Stuart is in Missouri. Stuart, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Happy Gin and Tonic Friday.
I hear you. I beat you to it.
The home of Bobby Petrino and the Missouri State Bears.
Oh, yes.
I hated it when A&M came in the conference. And the reason I do is Texas colleges ruin everything. They ruined the Southwest Conference. They ruined the Big 12. The Texas school colleges remind me of that rich kid that shows up with all the new equipment, and then when he gets beat, he just cries and cries and cries. And just the big mouth Texan, I just cannot stand. And Jimbo is the perfect loud mouth Texan. I mean, take example of the Alamo. You know, some Texan shot his mouth off, and then he had to say, "Oh, everybody come help me." And now it's a tourist attraction where some loud mouth Texan made a Mexican mad, and they got their butt handed to them. You know, and Texas ain't you're such a fraud. You're a Corps of Cadets. It's a fake soldier. Your 12th man is a fraud. You proved that last bowl season. And your male cheerleaders, you look like attendants at a mental institution. I mean, Texas A&M, shut up and win something. And the horns, hook 'em horns, that's so stupid. But A&M, how about you shut up and win something? Hell, the Missouri Tigers were in the conference championship twice. Where have you been? And oh, by the way, Jimbo, Saban won a national championship with your backup quarterback. But on a serious note, Paul, I'm about ready to check out on college football with the transfer portal and the name and image likeness thing. You know, it's just maybe it's time for old Stu just to check out and just watch Division II and Division III and maybe some hockey. Paul, you have a good one.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. We will take a break. We still have time for more of your phone calls and some more guests. We're back after this message.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. We spent so much time, especially the last 2 days, talking about all the money being made by athletes, but there was an interesting article recently in the Wall Street Journal by Luis Radnovsky about those who can't make money, and under the heading, Meet the Only College Athletes Who Can't Do Endorsement Deals, and there's a specific reason. They come from elsewhere, meaning other countries. I'll let Luis explain all that. Luis, first of all, thank you very much. It's great to have you with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
So this has come up a lot of times because players come into this country, and I want you to explain, because I'm certainly not an immigration expert, but what specifically prohibits foreign students who play college athletics from profiting?
the specific issue is the student visas that they're on, and the terms of those visas. They prohibit work in all but a very few set of circumstances for college students and work entirely for high school students. So the question is whether an NIL deal now would count as work. And if so, then they'd be free from the restrictions, but a lot of immigration lawyers and agents aren't willing to risk that because the consequences of falling afoul of these rules, not with the NCAA, not with the school, but with the U.S. government, are pretty serious.
And there are certainly some ways around it, but, I mean, there are many great athletes who they're getting a tremendous opportunity, especially much depending on where they're from, but are any of them able to make money as other student athletes are?
Yeah, there's a few workarounds that have been tried. We found out about Hansel Emanuel, who flew to Mexico to shoot an ad for Gatorade there. Another workaround that is being used is making sure that you structure your deals very carefully so that they can be counted as basically as passive income. You license something and then you sit back and you don't do any more work on it, but it's kind of akin to having a rental property or a stock, which is allowed as a form of income that doesn't count as work. So those are two workarounds. The third way that the people are exploring is actually trying to shift visa categories for some students who also might qualify based on what's called extraordinary ability. So those are three workarounds. The fourth that people are using is just to ignore it and think that they are going to be on safe ground if this gets challenged.
A couple of weeks ago, and I know you alluded to it in your piece, we made a big deal here about Oscar Tshiebwe at Kentucky, one of the premier player in the game last year. He won the top award. He came back, and the presumption was he came back because he was going to make a lot of money in an NIL deal, perhaps more than he would have had he taken the NBA draft route. What did you learn about his situation?
Well, I talked to his agent a little bit, and he declined to offer precise details on how they've been doing things. But he pointed out that this is definitely something that they are bearing in mind. He said, let's just say we've had to be very strategic. He's aware that they're walking a fine line at all times. The risk of getting it wrong, he said, is the risk of a kid like Oscar getting deported, which is at the extreme end of ways in which this can go wrong. But the lesser extremes aren't great either. You might face difficulties renewing your student visa, or you might face difficulties changing your status, for example, if you wanted to have a pro career down the line. So those are all issues for him in particular that they're trying to steer clear of.
Luis, just in terms of getting a student visa, because this is a big part of recruiting, especially in basketball and other sports, of course, but basketball seems to be the one that we're seeing a lot of foreign students. What is the procedure? A coach recruits a player, gets a top player from whatever country to come here. What happens next?
Well, generally, it's part of the same process that any international student would use to come to the United States, either for high school, for a private high school, or for college. That, in some ways, is the issue here. The majority of students who come who want to work might be able to do that in conjunction with what they're studying. The issue here is what this group of around 20,000 international athletes are facing. They want to work in relation to what they're playing, effectively. So the process is pretty similar, the risks are pretty similar, but it's pretty clear, too, that you couldn't count an NIL deal as, for example, the kind of optional practical training that students do after their degree or concurrently or even working on campus, although that's one way in which people might want to try and fix this.
And I'm asking you to explain immigration law, but why, why are there so many restrictions on what a foreign student can do other than go to school?
Immigration policy has been fairly fraught over the last few decades. And one of the concerns that has been aimed, these sort of regulations are aiming to address or have long been aiming to address, is that they don't want international students who are here as students taking away jobs from Americans. That's a recurring theme throughout immigration policy over its history. What agents and lawyers point out here is that these deals are pretty unique to the student. It's not necessarily the case that there's another American who would do just the same when the name, image, or likeness you want is of a very specific athlete who just happens to be from another country. The other thing they point out is these are regulations and rules that haven't been updated since the 80s and in some cases the 90s. So they predate remote work as a concept. They predate NIL as a concept as well in terms of being something that's permitted for all college athletes. So they're pushing for an update around there.
Really interesting piece by Luis Radnofsky from the Wall Street Journal about foreign students who participate in athletics who are not able to cash in like seemingly everyone else. Luis, thank you very, very much. We really appreciate your time.
Appreciate it, too.
What a pleasure. We'll take a break. We still have 30 minutes remaining. We can get to your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Final 30 minutes of an eventful week. We talk to Jim next.
Well, Paul, you finally had a sapient caller, the one right before the break. You recall that?
I sure do.
Well, I think he's right. I doubt he's from Texas. Would I be right?
I thought he was from Alabama.
Oh, well, that's good. I didn't get his name. But you know what? He's telling it right, Paul. No class Texas A&M versus very classy Alabama. And you know that, Paul. You got a coach, a redneck Texas coach, a yahoo, a jealous yahoo. That's all he can do is whine and cry like eyeworm. Does when I'm on there.
Wouldn't you acknowledge, though, that Saban's the one that threw the first stone?
No, I think he was exactly right, Paul. I think he had I think he's trying to save the sport, Paul. That's what he's doing. And hey, let me ask you something, Paul.
Save it
verify,
for who?
How can you verify? Let me ask you something, Paul. You don't mind. You don't talk on Islands Call. You never said a word on Islands Call. Here's my question to you.
I'm not listening.
Can it be verified? Nick made an authoritative statement when he said every player at A&M has been bought this recruiting season. Can't that be verified?
Well, Texas A&M has said it's not true.
Do you believe that Nick Saban would say something that firm and if it was out of line and not true? I don't believe he would.
Well, he said something about Jackson State that was untrue.
Well, I don't know that, but let's get back to the class of no class at Texas A&M, no class coach, redneck, yahoo. That guy, you look in his face and you can see what he's about. You know what he's about. You're the one that complained also about what he did at Texas A&M with James.
What I thought he did at my beef with him was at Florida State. I thought it was a disgraceful handling of Florida
James
State. Winston situation.
Winston at Florida State. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Exactly what I meant. He gave
pretty vocal about that.
Well, I mean, hey, I don't know. My point is, you can see the handwriting on the wall with this guy. You can see the no class, do anything to win, and trash the best coach that taught him probably all that he knows, but not all that Saban knows.
Jim,
let's
be real here. What does that mean? He hasn't worked for Nick Saban in 18 years.
It don't matter. He got his grounded. He was grounded under Saban. He was. He got tremendous.
No,
yeah, I think
there's a misconception about this.
Well, you let me
down,
man. This really makes me angry. You never interrupt our monkey.
I'm trying to state some information here. In many ways, Jimbo Fisher is a disciple of Terry Bowden, not Nick Saban.
Well, I don't care. I guarantee you he learned more under Nick Saban than he ever thought about learning under Bobby Bowden. I guarantee
you that. He played for Terry Bowden.
I don't care. He learned the most in coaching from Nick Saban, and he didn't learn cheating from Nick Saban either.
I don't know. It sounds like he was insinuating that he saw some cheating going on at LSU.
Well, what does it matter what it sounds like, Paul? You make me sound like a moron.
I'm trying to be objective here. You're not.
Oh, I am. Oh, I'm not. I'm not. Tell me how I'm not.
Because you're not looking at both sides of the story. He made an allegation.
You know what? I'm gonna quote Paul Feinbaum. I'm gonna quote Paul Feinbaum a few days ago. Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. You really don't.
Well,
thank you, man.
Thank you. Maybe we can get Jim in here the final 30 minutes and host the show, since he clearly knows more than anyone else. Let's check in with Phil, who is in Alabama, too. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Paul. Hadn't had a chance to call since I was in the cardiac surgery recovery unit back in August of last year, and just wanted to...
By the way, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks
well, that's
to the folks at St. Vincent's. About this Jimbo comment about being despicable, I'd like to have you consider how he and Saban might solve that. In the founding era of our country, the late 1700s, early 1800s, there was a fellow by the name of Aaron Burr that described another fellow by the name of Alexander Hamilton as being despicable. And at that period of time, that word had such a slanderous meaning and connotations about your family that a duel ensued. And you know the outcome of that duel,
Hamilton lost the duel, but he did get the result of that gave us one of the greatest Broadway productions in American history.
Absolutely. Well, I think dueling with pistols has actually been outlawed, so maybe we could suggest that Saban challenge Jimbo to a duel at the spring meeting on the beach, and they could do it with
a duel on the beach
or water pistols or something of that nature.
Yeah, something tells me that they, both being savvy individuals, will figure out a way to give us a photo op that may make some people nauseated, but will solve the problem that the commissioner of the SEC currently has.
I can assure you the manufacturing plant personnel that I work with, about an hour before the meeting was to adjourn, we would have a cage set up in front of the exit and see what happens when they walk out. But anyway, just wanted to remind people that that word had meaning back in the day, and
sure did. Well, I'm glad you reminded. And by the way, thanks for the call. And I urge any young person listening, which may be foolhardy at 6:30 on a Friday night, to study the Burr Hamilton situation. Let's check in with Phil, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Paul. First of all, for Georgia fans, Christmas just keeps coming. The year of our Lord 2022 has been a good year. Championship and the celebration of our program, and then this. It's like every morning we wake up and Santa has come down the chimney again. So these are good days. I don't have anything that to say that anybody else has not already said. I mean, my just personal feeling about Jimbo hadn't changed. He was a jerk before this. I think Saban gave him a really easy lob that if he'd have put on a suit, come out there and acted professional and debunked what Saban said, he could be looking, his university could be looking, and his recruiting program could be looking pretty good right now. But instead of that, he did what Jimbo tends to do. As far as Saban goes, it seems to me like people just are struggling to say that Saban messed up because he's been the patriarch, and he's been the patriarch for a long time. I mean, all of us mortals have done what he did, which is our mouths have gone on adventure and our brains stayed behind, and we ended up saying things we didn't want to say. He's always been so calculated, but I don't think that he said what he wanted to say or conveyed what he wanted to say. And that seems like a new day.
I agree with you. You're right. I mean, the criticism of Saban is scant, but I'm trying to take what he said, and he seemed to go farther than he intended. And anyone who's ever been in front of people knows that feeling, but he probably should know it better than anyone else because he's done it more than anyone else. But if he had added a couple of lines, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But he didn't.
I was going to say, my vocation requires public speaking as well, and I'm 60, and the older I get, the more I need notes, and the more I need to stay on that script.
Oh, listen, I couldn't agree more with you. I'm closer to Saban than you are, and the days of just winging it are over.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because when you start to wing it, which he was, he didn't have a script. He was holding a microphone. You tend to go, especially when you're emotional. And I know for a fact that he's emotional about this because I've talked to him and I've seen him. And he cares deeply. And he was trying to make a point. And he made an accurate point. But if you didn't have a camera there, it wouldn't have been nearly as bad, but there was a camera there. It served the purpose.
And I guess the question I want to ask you is that, do you see this having a negative impact on either or both of those teams' seasons? Do they become distracted by this?
I don't, because it happened on May 18th and 19th, and I'm starting to think that on May 31st, the commissioner will demand that these two end it, and there's only one way to end it, and that's with some picture or statement or whatever. We've seen warring leaders of countries, come together. We can certainly see two SEC coaches come together, But it's still a big story, though, because the media has very little, if nothing else, to talk about for the next couple of months.
It is. I kind of think the Jackson State thing will follow him longer. People will get tired of
it. I agree. I totally agree.
White men argue with one another.
Nick Saban owes Deion Sanders a lot because Deion Sanders could have taken him down yesterday.
Yeah. And what Deion is doing right now may have a very positive impact on his own program, that he's the one guy in this fray that's taken the high road.
Exactly. And, some have argued that Jimbo should have taken the high road. Well, that was never going to happen. Jimbo tipped his hand in February when he went almost scorched earth on Lane Kiffin and Saban to a certain degree. What he said yesterday, he also said in February. He just didn't say it explicitly, but he made a similar allegation against Saban, but we just tended to blow it off because it was convenient not to spend any time on it.
Do you think that those, I guess they weren't veiled allegations. They were pretty direct, except they didn't provide any evidence of what he was speaking to. Do you think that things will actually come out about the Alabama program that are going to surprise people?
No, I don't. I think what he's I feel comfortable in saying that. We had John Talty on the show the other day, who's just finished a book on Saban. I've talked to countless other people. My own personal time in Alabama, I just don't think there's anything there. I think Jimbo may have been relating to his time at LSU and then anecdotally what he's heard from other coaches. We've all heard stuff, but it really, and to put a bow on this, it doesn't matter. But someone would, it would take a player to make an allegation. And I don't think there's any shock value left in making allegations about what people have received.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.